ABC Radio Australia.
Between climate change and geopolitical instability, the security of the Pacific has been the big topic of discussion recently. But lurking in the shadows of these big issues are cybersecurity risks. That's things like ransomware, attacks on the Pacific's infrastructure, and misinformation. Monash University Associate Professor Carsten Rudolph has been working with Pacific countries to assess the threat and work towards solutions. He joins me this morning. Good morning, Carsten.
Good morning, Priyanka.
So tell me, what are the cybersecurity threats for the Pacific?
Look, in principle, these cybersecurity threats are not very different to ours because the Pacific Island countries go through a really rapid digital development. So government processes go online, electronic commerce is established, and lots of different things happen. And at the same time, countries are connected to the internet through undersea cables, which provide quite a lot of internet broadband connection for a small country. So in principle, they are as vulnerable to cybersecurity threats as we are.
So what do we mean when we talk about cybersecurity threats? I mean, we hear of things like ransomware attacks, of these things called DOS attacks, which I'm not exactly sure what that means. Can you tell us a bit more about what we mean when we talk about cybersecurity?
Well, there's a wide range of things that can potentially happen. So first, most of our software and hardware that we use does have vulnerabilities. So there are ways for hackers to attack our systems as soon as they are visible on the internet and not properly protected, like sitting behind firewalls and other controls. So that means like a normal person's computer might be attacked by ransomware, which means data is encrypted and they just get a message on their screen which says you need to pay some money, for example, using some Bitcoin or other digital currency to get your data back, which sometimes might happen or often not. So it's a criminal activity. Then there's denial of service, which is that acronym DOS, and there's the other acronym DDoS, which means distributed denial of service attacks, where somebody basically sends so much data to a particular server that the service is just no longer available at that time. Then there's critical infrastructures that are brought onto the internet, remote control for water treatment plants, for electricity networks, and then attacks can bring down these networks, can change configurations of water treatment, can actually also harm people and harm physical infrastructure. So it's a wide range of things.
Oh, gosh, yes, that is a wide range of things. And when you mentioned ransomware, it brings back some painful memories for me. I got my computer, got a ransomware attack about a decade ago, 10 years ago now. But all my photos, all of my precious music files, I had a diary on there and couldn't access any of them and lost them completely. And it just goes to show how much important information is kept on your computers. I mean, what can we do to protect ourselves from things like that? Is it something that individuals, individual computer owners can take care of themselves?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. You will probably not be able to totally secure your computer. I mean, for this specific case of ransomware for private data, basically the only thing you really can do is back up your data frequently on some offline media, kind of like USB disks and things, so that if that happens, you can restore it, because paying ransom is probably not the best idea because you're dealing with criminals and they're very professional, but there's no guarantee that once you pay, you get your data back. And also it kind of motivates them to continue with their business of distributing ransomware. On a national level, that is where we work with the Pacific Island countries, there's a lot more that can be done. So we basically look at across all the different aspects that a government needs to consider with cybersecurity, which is education, a very strong part. It looks at, especially for Pacific Island countries, how do solutions work with their particular culture, the society, the economic context, etc. What kind of standards would you need to look at? Policies, legal, regulatory frameworks are really important. And then there's all the technical things, like how do you react to incidents, to emergencies and all that.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to ABC Radio Australia's Pacific Beat program. We're joined by Monash University Associate Professor Carsten Rudolph. We're talking about cybersecurity in the Pacific. Now, do you have any examples of any attacks or any incidents when it comes to cybersecurity and the Pacific?
Well, I can't really mention specific incidents that we learn about when we talk to the people in the country, because all this needs to be confidential. And also, we are researchers from universities, and we don't get the same insights that ACSC or ASD on government level would get into what really happens in terms of cybersecurity attacks.
Okay, fair enough. Well, one thing that comes to my mind is the recent hack of Nauru's police emails. I don't know if you've been across this, Carsten, but I believe just a few months ago, Nauru, a whole trove of emails coming out of Nauru's government, out of their police, was taken and put online by a group of anonymous people. Have you heard of that? And what can be done to protect governments from this?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one. I mean, it's there's all these continuous things that you need to do. I mean, the Nauru case was basically what people call hacktivism. So it's somebody protesting against, I think in this case, it might have been offshore detention, and therefore attacking systems. But the thing is, everybody uses software that they buy from vendors like email service and authentication systems, etc. And if that system has a vulnerability and it is not continuously updated, or there might be a vulnerability that you don't even know about, then it's really difficult to totally prevent things to happen. So it's really important that first you have processes in place to react, to properly react on when something happens. And then you can structure your systems and networks in a way that if one part is attacked, then it's not that easy to then for a hacker to attack other computers in the same network or the same system. So there's a lot that governments and countries and agencies can do, not to totally prevent hacks, but to basically reduce the risk for the hacks to have a dramatic consequence.
And I understand you have a team in the Cook Islands right now. What are they doing there?
Yes, we have a team from the Oceania Cybersecurity Centre, which is a collaboration of 8 universities in Victoria. And that team in the Cook Islands is currently doing the national cybersecurity review for the Cook Islands. We have done this for 7 other countries already in the Pacific, and we use a model that was developed by Oxford, and we collaborate with the Oxford Global Cybersecurity Capacity Center on that work. And that team basically talks to representatives across the government, different agencies from civil society, from defense, etc., police, financial, telecommunications, and uses this model to have a really detailed analysis of where the Cook Islands are in cybersecurity. And that crosses all these areas that I've mentioned before, law, regulation, technical things, cyber emergency response teams, policy development, etc.